This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White. I hope you will stay with us this morning as we hear Jesus' call to disciples, and Dr. Wyatt will share just what it is that now begins.
Thank you, Dennis. As we move further into this gospel, Sharon's reading is just a portion of the fourth chapter of Matthew. But we will learn just what it means when we are called by our Lord, and that He will make us what He will.
Then Jesus began to proclaim, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has drawn near." As he then walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Then going on further, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a boat mending their net with Zebedee their father, and he called to them. At once they left the boat and their father and followed him. He then went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every disease and every infirmity among the people. Thus his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all those sick and afflicted with various diseases and pains, those possessed of demons, those afflicted by fits, and those paralyzed. And he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee to Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan.
I'm indeed thankful for Sharon's many readings. And our Lord's calling of these two sets of brothers in Galilee, we know has begun earlier. John in his gospel recounts the earlier encounter of Peter and Andrew with Jesus when they were just disciples of John the Baptist. But they obviously, just as Jesus had, when John the Baptist had been imprisoned by Antipas, they had returned to their homes in Galilee. Peter and Andrew to their former occupation, fishing in the waters of Galilee. And the ancient historian Eusebius asserts that the cousins James and John as well. Here in the region of Galilee, Jesus will begin his public ministry, moving from the small hillside village of Nazareth to Capernaum, a fairly busy crossroads town on the northwest shore of this fairly large lake. This town, we learn, is large enough to have a Roman centurion as representing the ruling power of Rome, and obviously tax collectors. But for Matthew, as is his purpose, we'll see the prophetic significance of Jesus' move to what was before the exile, the tribal portions of Zebulun and Naphtali, and we'll quote freely from Isaiah, using both the Hebrew and Greek, that it is in this land, the Galilee of the Gentiles. This is where the land of Israel is most influenced by the nations, the non-Israelis. It is here where the people sat in darkness and will see a great light, or literally, upon them a great light will shine, and this will bring to mind for those who would know the later passage in Isaiah, that this light to the nations, or as the Hebrew states, to the Gentiles, is a light to open the eyes that are blind, and bring out of prison those who sit in darkness. Here this singular ministry begins in earnest, for as Matthew states, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And as we continue in Matthew's gospel, we will learn just what the kingdom entails, what Jesus has called us to as well, what it will mean to walk with and in him, what it means to be a disciple. But first, this will fall on two sets of brothers. For as he walks by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting nets into the sea. For as Matthew says, they were fishermen. That was their occupation. That is what distinguished them from others. Each of us will, we believe, have something, or we do something that distinguishes us. It may be our job, our reputation, something we may have accomplished significantly in the past. Whatever it may be, that we believe sets us apart or marks our life. The trouble with such viewpoints is that these things may change. We may lose our job. People surely will forget what we used to do. Even seeing ourselves as husband or wife, parent, or someone's son or daughter, even these can change and alter. Children grow up, leave the nest, start families of their own. So just what and who are we really? What is it in us that can and does never change? In our narrative, these fishermen's lives will change for the better. Has Jesus actually gone in search of Peter and Andrew to renew their interest in him? Jesus will call them, and also James and John, and uses an image familiar to these four men. "And I will make you fishers of men." The call is unmistakable, and immediately they will leave their nets. And for James and John, Matthew adds that they left their boats and their father to follow Jesus. This is their new identity. We can call them fishers of men, but it is far more expansive than that. It is a calling, a ministry, a way of life that will mark them forever, and it is what in them will never change. One will be the very first martyr. Two more will be martyred on crosses in ways in which their names will be attached to these events to this very day. Peter upside down, and the cross of Andrew is an X. Only John will die of old age, but that after being boiled in oil. So what is that expansive identity? Apostle? Yes. Sufferers and martyrs for Christ? Yes. But what it is also our calling, our identity as well. What and who we are can never change. That is, who we are in a life in Christ. These four men would leave everything, their occupation, significant property perhaps, like boats, nets, even their father, to follow an itinerant preacher and teacher, a man they had only met briefly. What was it about Jesus? What is it still about Jesus that attracts, impels, engages these four, and still does for millions 2,000 years later? Yes, no man spoke like this man, as the guard told the temple authorities when sent to arrest him. That his demeanor, presence, mannerisms obviously attracted people. But what Matthew tells us next of what was the outworking of this ministry says it all. "And he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease, every infirmity among the people." We can dance around the truth, but Scripture is clear. Jesus preached, taught, and healed all. It was and remains the signal sign of the gospel of the kingdom. be it called the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Christ, or just the kingdom. It is about God's reign, his rule, his presence, and power demonstrated here on earth as it is in heaven. It is about not just the love of this supreme being who is the only God, but his power at work in our midst. And if we can see it, it is about his healing. His healing was for those marginalized, those left behind by a religious society that excluded more than they included. A stale, staid, and unresponsive faith that held out little hope, little compassion for those that didn't measure up. Too much like many segments of Christianity in the past, and yes, even today. But Jesus in his kingdom has brought to not only Judea, Galilee, and Samaria something very new, but brought it to our entire world, even, or may I say, especially for this time and place as well. Of course he taught. His words were marked by his own authority. It was about, you have heard, but I say unto you. It was about his preaching in the synagogues, expounding upon what is for us the Old Testament. You know those surprising insights into the Psalms, Isaiah, and the other prophets, as he would in his own home synagogue at Nazareth, quoting from Isaiah. He will tell all that this day this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Matthew will emphasize the variety of healings and how people came from many places. It is always about a great many healings and a great variety of people, even now. The rabbis and other traveling teachers would gather a small number of pupils. Those at Qumran would retreat into the desert. But Jesus' concern is for all people in all regions. Matthew, to emphasize this, uses surprisingly the word Syria. This would be the Roman province, which stretched from Antioch in the far north to Egypt in the south. Yes, a very large region. These healings are accompanied by what is called the good news. This to Christian has always meant the good news of what God has accomplished, his redemption, our ransom, and the justification of sinful humanity by sending his Son to bring this all to pass at Calvary. But here there is a different emphasis. Jesus is proclaiming that the kingdom has drawn near, meaning it has drawn near in him. God's kingdom is what he is bringing about in what he is doing, even then, in his proclamation and, oh yes, in his healings. We are not told how Jesus heals. Matthew only tells us that he did. This is a sharp contrast to what our records of antiquity tell us about other so-called healers. Normally, a great deal is made of their various techniques and methods, but with Jesus, it is plain. He heals. The obvious power here is so different from the tales of those others. And even more different is that Jesus heals them all, not just a few. Also greatly different than other stories of antiquity is that those that are the object of the compassion and healing presence of Jesus have done nothing at all to deserve it or to benefit from this work of the kingdom. This note of compassion, of unmerited grace, we will find throughout this gospel. Here is obviously something different, something new, a man that proves the reign of God, a reign of love, grace, and compassion. And as we would expect, it attracts people from far away. No selecting out those considered more worthy. Jesus was so much more. Matthew will even relate the various diseases and ailments, psychological problems, possession, and uses a word translated the paralyzed, which is actually a word that means there was no cure for these. It meant a great deal to Matthew that Jesus healed all, even those suffering what was termed incurable, healing even those that were considered hopeless. It is to this that the disciples were called fishers of men, which means far more than mere gathering of those new believers in Jesus. It is about the good news in this Jesus, the kingdom of God, this new way of life, this new expectation, this new identity, this new wholeness and healing in him. as here they were fishermen. That was their identity before. How people knew them, their business, their occupation, their life, so to speak. But that has changed, and it has for all of us who believe. You may be many things, things that identify you, things that you did in the past, how your life has grown, maybe even changed. Once considered a husband or a wife, but in times that can change by death. Being a contractor, truck driver, pastors, these too can change. But one thing in this new life in Christ that never changes, that we are in Him. We are, because of Him, redeemed, a chosen people, a holy nation born in a day. We are disciples and all that that can mean. We are Christians, and hopefully we represent that well with courage, compassion, and love. And perhaps not to be overlooked or forgotten, we pray for the healing of all and that we see results. For is that not what the kingdom means? And more, should we not in some compassion reach out to those who need a touch from our Lord, that they too might be made whole by the power of God that can and should abide in each of us? O my Heavenly Father, instill in us the same love and compassion and the need to see all healed, all touched, all made whole, and that as we abide in You, walk in You, that we will see Thy kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, all for Your glory forever. Amen and amen.
To follow Jesus is not a call for the faint of heart. And as we should all know, we are to count the cost. Discipleship is a serious undertaking, and it is the necessary and unavoidable call upon all Christians. This is what Thomas writes about in his book, The Question of Discipleship. Just what is a disciple, and what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? This is a scriptural look at this important subject and should be in the hands of every Christian. So just write and ask for the book, The Question of Discipleship. It can be yours at no charge. Well, dear ones, you know how much we appreciate all of your prayers and sincere graciousness. And to those of you who are not yet a part of the Wings of Healing Outreach, we pray you would sincerely consider being included in our Wings of Healing family. Supporting this ministry makes you an integral part of God's work that brings help and the wonderful Word of God to so many, here and abroad. Please join with us, won't you? Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6H4N1. Or you can contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. This ministry does continue and touches so many. This note from Marcia of Quebec, Canada, who is thanking us for our persistence, for the house has now sold. It had been a long, drawn-out effort. As she says, we actually received what we wanted from God. We do pray for every need and believe our Lord does intervene. So do write. But before Dennis gives you our addresses once more, Kyle performs Sharon's appropriate hymn, Calling Me. May our Lord call upon you this week.
Calling me, darkest hour, I can feel His mighty power calling me, calling me.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. As always, any CDs of our programs are available if you will but write and ask. And this week, Dr. Wyatt wants you to have a copy of his insightful book, The Question of Discipleship. Now, here is laid out so clearly just what the call of Christ entails and what it means to be a disciple. Do write and ask for your copy of The Question of Discipleship. It can be yours at no charge. Our addresses once more are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6H4N1. Or you may contact the ministry on the internet at thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at the same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.